Like, there's Christmas is fun, right? There's something about this night, this evening, that is fun, that is magical, that is just something real, right? In these moments, there's something real, and I want to talk a little bit about that this evening. And as we kind of explode into, don't worry, this is just soap. You'll be okay. It's non-toxic. It's just soap. You just can't inhale it. No, I'm just joking. We're all good. Look, the chaos in here, like throwing snowballs, it reminds me of a moment in history, and maybe you've heard the story. It was Christmas Eve in 1914. Right? It was just a few months into World War I. And German troops were entrenched on one side of the Western Front, while the British were on the other side. And in between them was this blood-soaked patch of mud called No Man's Land. It was war. But on that Christmas Eve, the sound of the gunfire, it quieted for just a moment. And when it did, the British troops, they heard a faint, familiar sound in the air. It was a melody. Da 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 da, da 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 da. And the Germans were singing. They were singing Stille Nacht or Silent Night in German. And then when the Englishmen heard the tune, they responded with their own song, and they sang, Silent Night, Holy Night. And then something incredible happened. This is a true story. Something incredible happened. You see, united by the same tune and the same longing for peace, the troops on either side, they slowly, cautiously emerged from their trenches, and they greeted one another. They sang songs and they gave one another gifts of chocolate and tobacco in their military badges. They traded them with one another. This was this incredible moment when light broke into the darkness. And when the Bible tells the story of the first Christmas Eve, it speaks of the same kind of thing. Right? Maybe you've heard the words the prophet Isaiah spoke. The prophet Isaiah says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And then when the apostle John tells the Christmas story in John chapter 1, which is what Christina read at the beginning when she lit the Christ candle, when John tells the Christmas story, he helps us understand what this light is. Who this light is, as the light entered the world's darkness. And so tonight, I want to focus your attention on the Christmas light that we find in John chapter 1. But before we do, can we just take a moment to pray? Jesus, we settle our hearts in this moment. We don't want to miss what Christmas means. We don't want to miss the light. And so, Lord Jesus, shine among us and help us to see what you want us to see and lead us into worship because you love us, you came to us, and you have something for us even this night. And so we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I'm not sure if you've ever seen the pictures from the James Webb Telescope. Have you seen these? These pictures, they're tremendous. They're from outer space, and they're pictures that, like, before about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, that the world had never seen in all of human history. Like, look at some of these pictures. We got a few of them on the screen. These are spectacular scenes of our universe. Things that we've never seen before the creation of this telescope. This is not AI, friends. This is real life. It's spectacular. It might be a black hole, yes. Or were you talking about me or the picture? That one. Okay, yeah, I think it might be. And you know what makes these pictures from the Webb telescope so different than any other telescope of its kind? It's the fact that the Webb telescope sees a different kind of light, right? Regular telescopes, they deal in ultraviolet light, which is the light that we can see with the naked eye. But this telescope, it captures a different kind of light, right? A different frequency called infrared light. And physicists will tell you that we can't see this light without help. We just simply can't see it. The Webb telescope helps us see what's been there all along, but it's been hidden from our sight. And so when John tells the Christmas story, he's saying something of the same order. He explains that on that first Christmas, God was shining a light into our world to show us something that has always been there, but something that we can't see without help. John says it this way. He says, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and in closest relationship with the Father, he has made him known." You see, all of Christmas revolves on this axis. God filled the world with a light to show us who he is. And that light is named Jesus. And John explains, he says, in him, in this Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. And John here is explaining to us what this light of Jesus actually is, what this light shining actually is. And we're told that the light is actually the life that Jesus has. It's actually the life that Jesus himself enjoys. I mean, think about that for a moment. Jesus, the Son of God, enjoys life with the Heavenly Father. And together, they delight in life with the Holy Spirit. And in them, there is no darkness. And so mark this. Together, they share the life that every human being on the face of this earth actually wants for themselves. It's a life of love. A life of joy, a life of peace, a life of embrace, a life of purpose and fulfillment. It's the life that we all want. And this is the life that Jesus has. And as John tells the Christmas story, he tells us the light is a person. And it's the life that that person enjoys. But there's more. There's more than that. Because this person, this life, is being given to us. John says that life was the light of all mankind. Right? Whenever God shines a light, he is actually giving life to his creation. Right? If you've ever read the Bible, the very first chapter in Genesis chapter 1, do you remember? God speaks life into existence. And what does he say? Let there be light. Yes, light. And it's because light in the Bible is about God giving life to his beloved world. And God knows that there is a greater life to live than the one that we often get caught up in from our day-to-day experience. Right? If you've been to the mall this week, you kind of know what I'm talking about. There is a kind of life that is beyond the hustle and bustle, a kind of life that is beyond the chores and the activities, a kind of life that is fulfilling, meaningful, has joy. It's light. It's life. And in sending Jesus to us, God is shining a frequency of light that gives his life to all who would receive him. It's the gospel of Christmas. And then John goes on, and he tells us something else about this light. He says, the light, it shines in the darkness. And what we need to notice here, and it's maybe hard to see in parts, but if you look at the whole of what John has written about the Christmas story, from John chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 18, everything that John says in telling the Christmas story is about something that has already happened. Everything is in the past tense. For instance, John says that Jesus was there in the beginning. He was there. And through him, all things were made. And in him was life. But here, is the only thing John cares to tell us that is happening in the present. He says the light shines presently. The light shines in the darkness. It is shining even now. The light has not gone out. And sometimes we feel like the light has gone out. Maybe you're entering Christmas. Maybe you came into this service this evening feeling the darkness of sorrow for any measure of reasons. Maybe for you, it's because you're here without the person you love. They passed away this year. Or maybe you feel despair or loneliness or the effects of some tragedy you've had to experience in your life. There's no light. Maybe your life's a mess. Your relationships are broken. You're anxious. You're afraid. And you wonder, where is the light, God? Or we could look around the world, right? And we see how war and greed and division of all kinds are keeping us in darkness. And we wonder, where is the light? And if we're brave enough to look inside our own soul, we will see that there are times when we create darkness for ourselves and for the people around us. I mean, we gossip. We lie. To get our way, we manipulate, we hold grudges, we sin. In other words, we live in darkness. But in all of it, John tells us that the light is shining on even still. It has not gone out. And perhaps this is what you really need to hear this evening, that the light has not left you alone in the darkness. That Jesus has not left you alone to suffer without hope. That he's not abandoned you to despair. That he has not overlooked your sorrow or rejected you because of your sin. That he is shining his light into your darkness even still. It will never go out. And maybe tonight, maybe this evening, God wants to adjust your eyes in the darkness. To see the light that he has to give you. The light shines even still in the darkness. And when I think about all this, I think that all of this helps us understand those moments in life. When we see light breaking through into the darkness, it helps us make sense of it, right? Like the Christmas Eve truce of 1914, right? Something happened in that moment where in the midst of war, this dark time, God's light of peace broke through, even if it was just for a moment. And there are other moments too, right, that you have all experienced, right? When we see this glimmer of God's light in our lives, right? Moment where you get a glimpse of what John actually calls the true light that is coming into the world. And perhaps like the holy moment of holding a candle in a church service on Christmas Eve as we sing. It's a moment. Or maybe there are those moments when you're surrounded by the people that you love, and you feel this deep gratitude, this deep joy. It's a moment of the light breaking through. Or maybe for you, it's those moments, even when you're all alone, when you feel lonely even, but you hear the voice of God speak to your heart and say, I'm right here with you. See, moments like these, they're like peering through a window into another world. Right, a world where light isn't momentary, where it doesn't go out, but where the light is actually everlasting. A world where there is no darkness, only the light of life with God. And we get a taste of these moments here in this life of something yet to come. Right, it's like when you bake a cake. You probably, maybe in your own house, you've baked a cake, and maybe you can remember that when you were a kid, you always wanted to lick the spoon, right? When someone is baking the cake, you want to lick the spoon. You want to get a taste. But what is better than the spoon? Isn't it the cake itself? No? You just want the spoon, right? Well, there goes my illustration. Some of you might just want the spoon. But I think there's something better than the spoon. And it's the cake that's in the oven that we're waiting for that's not ready yet. I know. That's how we feel in the dark. And these moments of light that we feel are like the batter on the spoon. It's good in and of itself, but it points to something sweeter that has yet to come. A life where light is all that we see and darkness will be no more. In fact, that's what John tells us next in his story of the first Christmas Eve. He says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Yes, there is darkness in our lives. But the light that Jesus gives will never go out. The light of Jesus is actually the only light that will never go out. And guess what? He shines for you. He shines for you and for me, for us, for the whole world. And the question we need to ask is, what should we do? Well, as I see it, there is only one response, really. We need to receive the light for ourselves, lest we miss it altogether, lest we go down in darkness without hope, without the love of God, without peace, joy. We need to receive it. And there's this tiny town in the Austrian Alps. It's called Rattenburg. Yeah, rat. Yeah, I know it starts with rat. Pretty funny. I was trying to think of a joke about batter on a spoon, but I couldn't come up with it, Owen. So there's this tiny town in the Austrian Alps, Rattenburg. And because of its location, it's located at the very bottom of a steep valley next to a huge mountain. And because of its location at the bottom of the valley, in wintertime, the town actually never gets any direct sunlight. It spends the whole winter in the shadow of this tremendous mountain. And so what the town proposed to do, because this was really hard for the people who lived there, actually people were moving away at a great rate. So the town proposed to bring in a whole bunch of giant mirrors in order to reflect the sun around the mountain and into the town. And they thought this was genius. It sounds frustrating to me when you think about it, doesn't it? I mean, could you imagine living your whole life knowing that the sun is there, but you only see it secondhand? Could you imagine never feeling the warmth of the skin on your, or the warmth of the sun on your own skin, but only through a mirror? Friends, Jesus is inviting you to receive God's light for yourself. No one can receive the light for you. You can't live off the light of someone else either. And Jesus is inviting you to receive him into your life tonight for the first time or for the 100th time. The light is a person. The light is the life that Jesus enjoys. And this light is being given to you. It's shining into your darkness, and it's the only light that will never go out. And the light is our Savior, Jesus Christ. So friends, let's step out of the shadow of the mountain to receive the glorious light of Jesus into our lives tonight. Don't miss it. Don't miss it.